Today, my dear faithful, is the Feast of the Holy Family, and is also the first Sunday after the Epiphany. And the epistle is taken from St. Paul's Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 3. Brethren, put ye on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the bowels of mercy, benignity, humility, modesty, patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If any have a complaint against another, even as the Lord hath forgiven you, so you also. But above all these things have charity, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of Christ rejoice in your hearts, wherein also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you abundantly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms, hymns, and spiritual canticles, singing in grace in your hearts to God. All whatsoever you do in word or in work, all things do ye in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. And when Jesus was 12 years old, they, going up into Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast, and having filled the days when they returned, the child Jesus remained in Jerusalem, and his parents knew it not. And thinking that he was in the company, they came a day's journey and sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintances. And not finding him, they returned into Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his wisdom and his answers. And seeing him, they wondered. And his mother said to him, Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said to them, How is it that you sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the word that he spoke unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. And his mother kept all these words in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and grace, and age with God and man. And thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Son, why hast thou done so to us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Over 200 years ago, my dear faithful, in the year 1815, on January 7th, a large group of women were gathered in the chapel of an Ursuline convent in New Orleans. They crowded the church, praying to Our Lady, because not many miles away, their husbands, fathers, and brothers were gathered together as well on a battlefield. The War of 1812 was raging at that time. An army from England, with the support of the American Indians, had invaded the United States. The men joined together to fight for their families, their homes, and their country, 6,000 in total. However, the British army that faced them was 15,000 strong. The British thus had over twice as many men. They were also better armed and better provisioned. In the face of such odds, some of the Americans had already given up. During a previous attack, a portion of the American line abandoned their posts and fled, so certain were they of the coming defeat. However, the British retreated at that attack, waiting for their full force to gather to give every surety of success in crushing the American forces. By January 7th, the full 15,000 British soldiers were gathered and the people of New Orleans knew it. The attack was imminent. And that is what brought the wives, daughters, and sisters of the American soldiers to the church to pray to our Lord through Our Lady, begging for victory and the safe return of their loved ones. Throughout the night, these devout Catholic women continued their prayers, uncertain of what the morning would bring. Finally, the morning of January 8th arrived, and a priest offered Mass, joining in their prayer. All approached the rail to receive their hidden God in Holy Communion. And it was at that moment that a soldier burst into the chapel. "Victory," he softly called in the chapel. "Victory." Immediately after Mass, the priest intoned the Te Deum, the church's hymn of thanksgiving to God, and all joined him with grateful hearts. A few days after the battle, Andrew Jackson, the general commanding the American forces at New Orleans, and future President of the United States, he personally rode with his retinue to the Ursuline Convent. He thanked the sisters and the devout women for their prayers, and he publicly acknowledged, "By the blessing of heaven, directing the valor of the troops under my command, one of the most brilliant victories in the annals of war was obtained." He admitted that while his men fought hard, it was not so much the force of arms, but the helping hand of the God of armies that won the victory at New Orleans. How else could he explain that, in the space of 25 minutes, the British lost 700 killed, 1,400 wounded, and 500 were taken prisoners? That is a total loss of 2,600 men. And the Americans, 7 were killed and 6 were wounded. 2,600 to 13. For each American soldier lost in one way or another, 200 British soldiers were killed, captured, or wounded. How can we possibly explain this except as General Jackson did, that the hand of God won this victory for our country? And of course, Our Lady moved our Lord to win it for us. It is another example of our Blessed Mother's tender care for us, watching over us, listening to our prayers, and providing for our needs. As we all know so well, Our Lady truly is our loving Mother. She constantly prays for our good. But it can be comforting to remember that she knows what it is like to suffer. For in her life, she experienced much the same, even in the early life of our Lord. In today's Gospel, we read St. Luke's account of the finding of our Lord in the temple. "For 3 days, the Son of God, the promised Messiah, Mary's own child, could not be found." The Holy Family had come to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the great feasts. Finally, the feast was over, the ceremonies and celebrations finished, and the Holy Family began the journey home. Or at least, Joseph and Mary did. Our Lord remained in the city, unbeknownst to his parents. The journey home began, the women separate from the men, as was the custom amongst the Jews. And so Mary believed her son was with Joseph, while Joseph thought Christ was with her. Not until a day later did Mary and Joseph discover their loss. They searched among their fellow pilgrims, their relatives, their neighbors, But still, Jesus was not to be found. Back to Jerusalem they went, and they scoured every part of the city. For any mother losing her child, not being able to find him for 3 days, that excuse me, that is an incredible trial. Constantly worry gnaws at her heart. Question after question fills her mind. Where could he be? Is he all right? Is he safe? Is he hurt? Maybe even the question, is he alive, can come to her mind. Our Lady, she knew that her son is the Messiah, that he would suffer and die for the sins of mankind. But she did not know when. Could this be it, so soon? At the tender age of 12, he is already to be taken from her. For 3 days, then, Our Lady searched with those thoughts before her. Of course, she trusted in God. She resigned herself to God's holy will and prayed that whatever may happen, that God's will be done. But that does not mean that the cross she had to carry was not a bitter one. Our Lady was truly left in the dark of sorrow, fear, and doubt. She did not know if the next time she beheld her child, would it be to bury him. How such a thought would afflict the heart of any mother. But this is not just any mother. This is the Blessed Mother. Her love for Christ outstrips the love of any other creature. The angels and saints cannot love their God as much as she does. But that same great love made this trial all the more difficult. This trial Our Lady endured was a foretaste of the cross. Our Lord gave it to her to prepare for the great trial that lay ahead when she would witness him die. Not only then, my dear faithful, is Mary, our Blessed Mother, so loving to us, but she too knows what it is to suffer, to be uncertain, to be left in the dark. Our Lady knows then our sufferings as well, for at times we may feel left in the dark, uncertain about the future, filled with worry of what crosses lay ahead. Whether we have difficulties with work, with our family, our friends, neighbors, or strangers, or our country, or illness, injury, even death of someone close to us. These are crosses that everyone faces at some point in their lives. Like Our Lady and the women of New Orleans, we do not know what the future holds, but like them, we must have confidence and turn to prayer. Trust that all is part of our Lord's plan, even though we may not understand it. Have confidence that no matter what may happen, there is a greater good that can be drawn from it. And pray. Pray especially to Our Lady. She not only loves us with a mother's love, but she has shared in our difficulties. She knows what it is like to be left in the dark. Trust in Our Lady that she will help you through. Like the people of New Orleans, have confidence in our Blessed Mother to help you, to give grace, to carry your cross. And yes, you may pray for the cross to be removed or lightened, if that be the will of God. I encourage you then, my dear faithful, to pray to Our Lady, to learn from her how to live with confidence. Resign yourself to God's will as she did. Ask her to teach you this trust. And there is no better prayer to use than her most holy rosary. The rosary should be a part of our everyday life. As you go through this prayer, trustingly put your concerns in Mary's hands. Pray the rosary as a family, because this makes it even more powerful, and because our worries and concerns are so often about our own family members. Pray to God with confidence through Mary. Trust that God, in his infinite goodness, and Mary, in her tender love, will do whatever is for the best. And you can be sure that the future, both in this life and in the next, will be brighter because of your prayers. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.